CNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
To Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStewart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
But it's so good to be here with you. I tell you, you've got a pastor that I can't believe God blessed me with his friendship. Because there are times when I feel very lonely in the battle. And I can always go and sit down and talk to Pastor Jonathan, and I walk out of there feeling better. And sometimes he just lets me vent, and sometimes you need to say things to somebody you trust just so you can hear them yourself. You think better out loud. I do that. You know, if I tried that with my wife and she says, yeah, but. Wait a minute. You know, did you ever cut? No, just listen. It's hard to do.
Yeah.
And something, my brother, I see a brother laughing over here. He can relate, I can tell. Yeah. It's sometimes we just need to listen to people and just let them talk it out. Especially folks that don't know the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, when we get the opportunity, I've got a neighbor next door that was a merchant sailor for many years. Well, that was providential because I'm a retired naval officer, Navy salvage diver and engineer. I didn't come into ministry until I was 51. And that was in Uganda, East Africa. But anyway, he and I can relate to each other. He knows about God, but he doesn't know God. And just in our conversations, in issues that we're familiar with, being both sailors, there are things that come up where he can say, oh, maybe that was God. Maybe that was God. I don't have to thump him in the head with a Bible. I just have to be there. St. Francis of Assisi, yes, I'm a liturgical bishop. St. Francis of Assisi is one of my heroes. And one of the things he said was, in everything we do, we preach the gospel. When necessary, we use words. Your life, you've heard this before, your life may be the only gospel people ever read. So make sure it's true and it's up front and it's accurate. Your pastor, the guy you've got here, are five things I look for in a pastor. One of them, do they study the scripture? He does. I know he's in the scripture from the things he says. Do they understand the scripture? He certainly does. And he doesn't put his own two cents in, he puts God's word into it. Does he preach the scripture? Yeah. He sure does, doesn't he? This, I can tell because I've heard some of his sermons. But the other two issues, most pastors I've met, not most, I can't say most, but quite a few in today's politically correct society, they don't relate to the other two. The other two are very simple. Do they believe the scriptures? And he does. And do they live the scriptures? That's the important one. What you do speaks so loudly, they can't hear what you say. This man lives it. And I'm privileged to have him as a friend. God bless you all.
Hang on. I'm not sure who he's talking about, but this guy tells a story once in a while if we bring it out of him, and it's like Saul on the Damascus Road. It's when he had a personal encounter. And when he tells that story, you know, I have a buddy, Jim Wilson, who said, "I don't cry, but sometimes my eyes sweat." But when Ed tells this story, his eyes sweat. Ed, could you just tell us a little bit about your personal encounter with Jesus Christ and how that took you from a religious person to a person that's righteous by the shed blood of Jesus?
Yeah, I think I know what story.
Share just a little bit of that story. It is awesome.
I came to the Lord in 1981, the year before I retired from the Navy. I had 21 years in then. I was a hard-drinking, hard-fighting, knuckle-dragging Navy deep-sea diver. And I had been enlisted for 14 years. I was a warrant officer for 4 years. I got promoted to a full commission. And I thought, boy, I'm on top of the world. I've got it together. And one Sunday morning, I was dragged to a meeting in Hilton Head Island because they told me if I didn't go, I couldn't have any breakfast. Now, you hit me where I live now. I'm going to eat my breakfast. Besides that, I paid for it. So I sat down and had breakfast, and after I finished eating, they said, if you'll just turn around, your chair around, this young man, this young lawyer from Turkey Trot, I think was really the name of it, North Carolina, got up there, a young lawyer, and he started talking about the hard-drinking, hard-fighting, womanizing life he had had. And the more he talked, the more I could see myself in a lot of the situations. And when he got down to the altar call, now I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church, been away from church for years, but I still had aunts and cousins that were in the clergy. There were nuns and there were priests, so we kind of maintained the connection, but that's about it. Well, he got talking about the only way to salvation, and I couldn't sit in my seat. My wife was sitting next to me, also a Roman Catholic, also, by the way, 6 years in the Navy. That's where I met her. I was a career man. I wasn't about to marry a civilian. I didn't even write to my folks because they were civilians. Anyway, he started talking about the way to salvation. And when he got to that point, and he said, and it's simple. All you have to do is accept Jesus. Realize that he died for you. Well, I remember seeing the cross in the front of the room with the corpus hanging on it and saying, wow, wonder what he did. I know the nuns are going to get me real bad after they got him like that. Mm. You know, that was an old Catholic joke, we thought. But the more I thought about it and listened to him, the more I realized that what he was saying made sense, and the fact that when he came to the Lord, it changed his whole life. And when the altar call came, I couldn't sit there. And I stood up to receive Christ, and so did my wife. And we came to the Lord together on October 18th, 1981 at 10:30 in the morning, more or less. I remember distinctly. Well, that's only part of the story, because the real part of the story that counts is after about 2 years of being around the people that helped me come to the Lord. And can I say the word here? Amway?
You can.
It was an Amway convention, believe it or not. No, I'm not involved anymore, and I'm not here to recruit, okay? But that's who brought me, the group that we were with, are the ones that influenced my life and brought me to the Lord. So after 2 years or so with them, I'm thinking, boy, this is great. You know, great people to be around. But I was still in the marine environment. I had retired from the Navy, and I took a job as a manager of a shipyard up in Jacksonville, Florida, Mayport, out in Mayport, yeah. And I was running a shipyard, so I was still within that influence of the language. The one thing the Lord did take away from me the day I got saved was alcohol. A six-pack was a warm-up for me at the time. I would open a bottle of scotch and throw the cap away, and my wife said, why'd you do that? I said, you put the cap back on, it goes bad. So I'd get a bucket of ice and sit there and kill a whole fifth watching TV. I mean, I was drinking heavy. On October 18th, 1981, at 10:30 in the morning, he delivered me from that. Mm. Completely.
Praise
Took
God.
It right away.
Praise
Never
God.
Had a desire. put my marriage back. We were 6 months from a divorce at that time, because mainly because of my drinking. And he put us back together. Well, this went on for about 2 years, but one day I'm sitting there and I'm saying, you know, Lord, I'm still in this environment and I'm still using the language and I'm using everything else that these shipyard workers are using, and I'm trying to say I'm different. I feel like I'm a pear hanging on an apple tree and trying to convince everybody that I'm an apple. You know, I know, wait a minute, either you're a pear or you're an apple. And I said, what's wrong with me? These other people, they know you, they've received the Holy Spirit, they've got everything going for them. What's wrong with me? Is this a joke? Is this all fake? Is that what's wrong? Did I get into something that's just a cult? And I mean, I was upset. And I was home alone for some reason, and I can't remember why. So I went in and lay down in my bed, and I'm just crying out to the Lord, what is wrong with me? Why does everybody else seem to know you and get close to you and you love them, and I'm still hanging out here right where I was with all I've tried to change in my life for you? And I looked up, there's a picture, you know, these holy pictures the Catholic Church puts up. There's a picture on one, and I wish I could find it again. I can't find the certain card I'm looking for. It's a picture of the cross leaning at an angle down over a seashore with a boat down there. And that always has stuck in my mind, and I don't know what it was about. But as I'm laying there crying, I mean literally crying to the Lord, I looked up, and the cross of Jesus was hanging over me like this, and the blood was dripping down and washing over me. And in my heart, he said to me, you know about my son, but you don't know my son. And that changed my whole life. That gave me a whole new direction. It really was the turning point that put my wife and I back together, got me back into good steads with my two boys. My two boys thought I was a tyrant. I was just mean to them because I expected so much from them and I demanded so much, and I forgot about the loving side that God had showed me. I didn't show to them. So I got to change my relationship with both my sons. And a few years later, in 1988, my 19-year-old son came down with meningitis on a Wednesday, and he died on Monday. And God wrapped his loving arms around me. And if it hadn't been for him, I don't know what I would have done, because I'm I could have been a very volatile, reactionary person. And I could have gotten angry and walked away from my family and just done everything wrong. Mm. But not for the love of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Jesus.
And the fact that he had washed over me, given me the gift of tongues where I could pray and just pray my heart out, and not even worry about what I'm saying, because he knows. But to do that to a guy that was so worldly for so long, and to touch my heart like he did, it's real, folks. It's real. God is real.
Praise God.
God's Holy Spirit is real. And the blood of Jesus is for you and for me. You ever ask a little kid, how much do you love me? I love you this much. I love you this much. Jesus said, I love you this much.
Yeah.
And he died for us. God bless you all.
Love you, buddy.
I love it when his eyes sweat. I love it when your eyes sweat. He shared some stuff with me the other day that on another day, if he can put up with us for more than once in his life, maybe he'll come back and share with us. Well, we can relate to that testimony, can't we? We can relate to that because there's such a huge, real transformation that happens when we have that personal encounter with Christ. But the title to the message this morning is a title that I believe the church
at large needs to hear. I believe the church at large needs to hear your testimony, Ed. Because so many people go to a building they call the church, but they are sort of like the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were in and out of the temple, they memorized the Torah, they counted their seeds, so they were good legalists. But when the Messiah came, they had no room for him. They had become religious without knowing the author of salvation. The title this morning is, There Is So Much More. Wherever you are in God, there still is so much more. I've had occasions in my life where I literally felt like God lost me off his radar. I just kind of felt that way. It wasn't true, of course, but I felt that way. There have been other times in my walk with God where I literally felt like I was on a Holy Spirit-designed roller coaster. And let me tell you, man has not put anything together like the Holy Spirit can. And I've been on some of those journeys where it's like every door opened before you got there and God was just moving things out of the way. And I, after seasons of struggling, found that God was listening the whole time and God was actually at work and he was working in me. And then all of a sudden there was this tremendous journey that he pulled me through. And at the end of those seasons, it seems there's a repeat because like the winter, spring, summer, and fall, it seems in my Christian walk there's been seasons like that. There's been summers when it seemed it was all about shouting and celebrating. There have been seasons of a fall when it seemed that things were dying. The leaves were falling. And it was struggle time. And then there's been winters, as I mentioned, just waiting and saying, God, where are you? But then when spring comes and everything's popping out of the ground and everything is blooming, and I've had those mountaintops where I wanted to just build a sukkah up on top of the mountain and say, God, I don't want to ever leave this place. Because you're here and I'm so alive in your presence. And we all need to remember that we are on a journey and we are always going to be able to receive more because God will never run out of what he has for us. The book of Hebrews, it seems that these Jewish believers, some of them were struggling. They may have been at a time in their life where they were questioning. Sort of like you were saying, Ed, you know, where am I and why are others at a different place and why am I struggling? And the author of Hebrews addresses these things and we've been looking at it and we've looked in Revelation where the high, great high priest, which we'll see in this passage today, is the one who's worthy. And if we keep our eyes on him, even though there's other stuff going on, and you say, well, how do I keep my eyes on him? I mean, I grew up in a church where people would look up when they prayed and looked up when they worshiped. And, you know, I was an unbeliever, so I'm there and I'm looking up. And I, you know, like this morning, I'd say there's light bulbs and ceiling tiles. We talk about looking unto Jesus, and the word says to not create idols to look at. But when we look into the Word of God, we will see God show up in truth and in life and in transformation. And then in our spirit, we will be brought to fresh life as well. And so there is so much more. Chapter 5 of Hebrews, I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation. You may have a different one, so I'll try to give the scriptures. But I would direct your attention to the scripture that gives this emphasis, and then we're actually going to be reading through this passage. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, in the New Living Translation, it says, there is so much more that we would love to say about this. Now, we're going to be talking about this that's in this passage. But then the author, by the Spirit, gives us, there's so much more that could be said. There's so much more to hear. There's so much more to see. There's so much more that could be understood. There's so much more to experience in God. We all know this, but yet the author says to them, there's so much more, but you don't seem to listen. Now, this isn't written to non-believers. It's written to believers. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I believe that it's possible for us to sort of say, well, I'm born again and, you know, I'm full of the Spirit and so, you know, that's all good. And then I just kind of live my life. But I believe the Holy Spirit in this passage, just as to this Jewish audience, would say to us this morning, living in 2023, that there is a message for now. You know, the world has news every day, news, and mostly garbage news, but I believe God is saying and wants to say to us this morning, I have news for you that is now news. It's real, it's relevant, it's timely, it's equipping, it's anointed. It will encourage you, it will strengthen you, it will transform you, it will equip you for what you're facing. But we have to have ears to hear. He said, you don't seem to listen real well. Yeah, ladies have already been picked on, so I'm not going to pick on them anymore, but I'm married to one who reminds me that I don't always listen real well. I was in Aberdeen having some carpet time. If you've been in the house of God and you've had carpet time, it's when you don't know anything else is going on other than God has your attention. And I was nose to nose with the carpet. And I was a part of a traveling ministering team that was ministering to pastors. The room was pretty much packed, and there was an awesome service, tremendous challenge to leaders in Scotland to get out of their boxes and connect with one another and build the kingdom together. And I'm there, and I'm like, Father, I am so underqualified to be a part of this team. Why am I here? How did I get here? And what are you wanting to say to me? And I was weeping, and the Holy Spirit was just melting my heart. And I'm like, I really need to hear something. Now, I thought I was there to be a part of bringing leaders to the cross, to where we could link up and represent God better. And that was part of it. But God had something else to say to me. He said, Jonathan, I want you to learn how to listen when I speak through your wife. He said, you don't mind listening to me when I talk to you, but you have a problem when I speak to and through your wife, you do not want to hear what I have to say through her. Now, maybe all of you have good hearing, spiritual hearing, and maybe none of you need to have a hearing check, but some, like myself, needs to have a hearing check on occasion to just find out whether or not I'm hearing what I need to hear. Because sometimes in all the noise, I find that I get distracted by the noise and miss maybe some of what I should hear. So there is so much more. To those who are despondent this morning, there's so much more. If you're discouraged, if you're looking at the White House, or you're looking at maybe your neighbor's house, or if you're looking at your house, you might be discouraged, but there's so much more that God has for us. And I believe it's important that we listen to what the Spirit would say. What is that repeating phrase in Revelation? Let him who has ears hear what the Spirit, Holy Spirit, saith to who? The church. Any of the church here this morning? Verse 1, chapter 5. Now a high priest, first of all, we're going to look at the limitations, or the limitation of earthly priesthood. Back a few weeks ago, we looked at the deplorable condition of the priesthood on occasion, where the shepherds, you remember that, right? They were like sleeping dogs. They were bred to be watchdogs. They were bred to be watchmen, let me say that. They were of the kingly order to be watchmen on the wall, but God said instead of watchmen, they'd become like lazy mongrels that only pursued food for themselves. And then, of course, God would say to any shepherd, then or now, if that's where you are, He is the good shepherd that everyone can find and be led by. But in talking about the priesthood, Hebrews is going to talk about who Jesus is as the mediator and the great high priest and the one who is worthy. And this chapter starts by just reminding us that the Aaronic priesthood had limitations. A priest, a high priest, Aaron was a high priest, right? A high priest is a man, just a man. Jesus is God, man.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stewart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly."